don't have a magic number. Goals are to protect the most vital services and to avoid a tax increase in a recession on folks who are strapped as it is. Everything else is secondary. These reserves are a means to the end. Again, thank goodness we had them, and thank goodness we did not spend more of them than we committed to spend, because we're going to need them. That's the taxpayer's last line of defense against the tax increase. And again, thank goodness we have them, and we're going to have to protect them the best way we can until we know that we're at the bottom and on the way out of this.
So when you talk about taxpayer protection, what do these figures mean for the whole issue of property tax caps that is set to fully kick in next year? Mm-hmm. You're telling schools to, you know, brace themselves and be ready. They're going to say, well, we got you guys on one end, we got tax caps over mm-hmm. here. The squeeze.
I don't think they mean anything. First of all, thank goodness for the property tax bill. We didn't know a recession was coming, but it has left hundreds and, in many cases, thousands of dollars in the pockets of taxpayers who really need it at a time like this. Secondly, it is operating as a local spending limit. And as I travel around, I'm running into a lot of local officials, and I ask them, so how are you doing now that you can't just raise the tax rate to generate the money you want? And they say, well, you know, when we had to, we found some things we didn't have to do or we could do a little less of. I'm not saying this is easy at all. It's difficult, as anybody's budget is right now. But I believe that on all the evidence we have right now, it's been a huge success with lucky timing. I don't see any intersection here at all. And by the way, remember that part of that reform was to separate once and for all what the local governments pay for and what the state government pays for. So we don't have that subsidy going anymore. So when the state revenues fall short, it doesn't have a direct effect on their own income as it would have a couple years ago.
Have you considered scrapping the old forecasting methodology and just going outside and hiring somebody to do their own?
No. It would be for the legislature to decide anyway. So no, I don't think that's the idea. Again, I don't think it's a matter of the people. They're very talented. I think it's a matter of the underlying realities of this economy having shifted in a tectonic way. And the methods that served pretty well up until the last couple of years have got to be adjusted. They made a few adjustments starting in May. But it looks to me like we haven't caught up to the changes yet. They haven't. And in the interest of accuracy, I hope they will soon.
Governor, there's two parts to the forecast. There's the one that's being hired out now, where uh-huh. someone comes in and talks about
the economy.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the taking that and applying it to revenue.
Right.
Which, do you have a problem with an issue with both, or one or the other?
You know, I didn't go back the last 24 hours and look. I don't think that the economic inputs have been wildly off the mark. Although they do forecast recovery that I'm not sure is coming. But up to this point, I think it's more a matter. By the way, I think this is the troubling point. My view is, and I wrote about this not long ago in an essay in the Wall Street Journal, even if and when economic recovery comes, I'm not sure it's going to generate as much revenue to state governments around the country as it would have before. And I gave my reasons in that piece. But a lot of it has to do with people saving more, spending less.
That's all sort of speculation about what might happen. Forecasts generally are based on some sort of actual information.
Yeah.
Do you want them to just make assumptions about
no.
what somebody believes?
Well, let me just point out, this already has happened. The savings rate, for instance, made a radical change from -2. People were spending more than they were making. They were borrowing it on their credit cards. They were borrowing it against the dollar, the paper value of their house or something. from -2 to 6. I think it's come down around 4 something now, but it's a huge shift. That's already happened. So unless you think it's going to evaporate and go right back where it was, you would conclude that sales taxes are, for which is our biggest single source, more than 40% of our revenue, are not going to leap back where they were, let alone keep growing as they were. So I don't think it's all speculation, Leslie. I think, you know, a lot of the evidence is already in hand, and you have to, really works the other way. To imagine that the old model works, you have to think these things that are happening will stop happening.
While you're not announcing any specific course of action today, are your budget folks working on contingency plans? Do you guys have a detailed list of action that you take given when the revenue hits certain levels?
Yeah, you want it?
Well, sure.
Well, you can't have it.
That work is going to, I guess that point is that work, listen, we're going on the plan for...
You know... Yes, and does every day of the year. Does it, by the way, it does in good times as well as bad. I mean, we obviously got a lot more serious about it starting a year ago. Many of these actions have already been taken. Many of them we just do and move forward with. Now with even more urgency. Yeah.
Governor, what does it say that the only place the state's making money is on riverboats and cigarettes?
What do you mean making money?
Well, they have not losing revenue. It's on gaming and looks like tobacco taxes.
Well, I'm not sure. But the tobacco tax revenue is, tobacco sales of unit sales are way down since we raised the tax itself. So I wouldn't read too much into that one. Some we have authority, and there are a lot of changes that we could make that would require statutory change. So there's a little of both.